Savior. This is a very beautiful song, just meditatively. Very observant, you realize that the pattern of the messages for now is actually to mold you and shaping you to be a true representative or ambassador of the Lord Jesus as you sojourn on the earth. The scripture makes it clear that wisdom is justified of her children, meaning that you do not need any detailed manifestations or any detailed research work to prove that something is of a good origin. Hallelujah. The moment something is of a good origin, certainly its fruits will show. Hallelujah. So if a mango tree is very, very matured, you are likely to find very good mangoes on it. And if the tree is really planted at a very good place, you are likely to have what, high quality fruits. How many of you have seen mango fruits that are so huge? Yeah, certain mango fruits, they are so huge and they look so ripe. Now, modern science, due to a lot of genetic alterations and all that, now they can produce mangoes of different colors and how they want it to be. Fruits that are so resistant to infestation of pests and all that. That is how they want it to be. Praise God. So how you want it to be is how you design it. Or naturally speaking, whatever God wanted something to be, he released a seed in that thing with all the potential to bear that fruit. Hallelujah. The reason why you are a human being is because you are not coming from anything less than human. You understand? Like, I mean, hardly before, I don't know whether it's possible, but maybe science can maybe lie to you and tell you that maybe you came from monkeys and all that, with their reasons. But but you are human because you are human. Hallelujah. You are human because you are human. So that is your nature. And you sit and you reason with men. Because you can reason at the same intellectual level or capacity. And even amongst men, there are different differences. And all that. But when it comes to the dimension of God, we realize that God has made it possible for men to also live the divine life, or for men to also express the divine life. One of the main agenda of Jesus was to bring life and life abundance, or to bring life or life to the fullest. That is the agenda of Jesus. He says that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So there is someone with an agenda called the thief. And the intention of the thief is to steal. What is he stealing away? Is to kill and to destroy. It sounds like armed robbery. To steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. But he said, I have come so that you would experience life to the maximum. That you will experience life to the fullest. So now, we find ourselves in a generation where there's two alternatives are being offered to you, and it has always been so from days immemorial. Like there has always been an offering. So it's like death, life. So Moses will say, there's the presentation of death and life, but then you need to what? Choose life. Hallelujah. You need to choose life. There are so many alternatives in this world, but how you would want your life to be like, what you would want your life to become, you need to lean more to that alternative. And with our experiencing God, God is not an alternative. He's the actual deal. Hallelujah. He's the real thing. Anything that proves to be an alternative to God is a deception. Hallelujah. It's a deception. It's a full deception. Because if it is not Him, it is not life. Are you here with me? So, as a child of God, one of the things that you need to do is to grow in knowledge and in the grace of God. Because that will be your main tool of escape, or that will be your main armory that you put on to stand against the devices, or to stand against what you call the wiles or the deceptions of the enemy. Hallelujah. Say that, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you will be able to stand, hallelujah, against all the deceptions, all the wiles, all the plans and plots, and so that you have eyes to see. So when a child of God fails to put on the armor, you put yourself in a certain situation where your experience becomes like one that is without Christ. Meanwhile, in terms of nature, you actually possess His nature, but your experience is very similar to the one that does not know God. What did He say concerning judgment? He said that they know not. And because of the darkness or the grossness of their ignorance, they keep on walking in darkness. So you see, ignorance will lead you more into what? Ignorance. So failure to see, your eyes have already been veiled. So already you are not seeing. And if you are not seeing, if you are walking, it means that you are walking directionless. There is the absence of the lamp. There is the absence of light, which is supposed to be the ultimate guidance of your life. Absence of the lamp and absence of the light. Amen. So your life becomes directionless, and that is darkness. So darkness leads more into a darkness, because you don't know where you go, and it makes you prone to a lot of wolves and all sort of things that are happening around us. So you need light. Tell anybody that you need light. How do you feel when they put the lights off? Some of you couldn't join the Saturday prayer service because there was light off, right? They gave light off, and I think when Obed was leading, immediately he finished on Friday, then you told us that the light was off. Lights off is a very, very uncomfortable experience. Hallelujah. We are not in the village where you even that would cry by the fireside. Hallelujah. At least there's still a source of light to sit down with. The moonlight is there. And then you are having conversations, and your grandpa will be telling you stories and all that. That is fine. But it's a very great inconvenience in our age to have done so. Is it not so? Because now you realize that almost everything that we do, with your phones, you need lights, laptops, I mean almost everything that you're doing, when the lights go off, you can't do any projects, you can't do anything. So the importance of light in our generation should let us know the reality of the importance of light in spirit. have said that ye are gods, and all of you are children of Most High, but ye shall die like mere men. It means that there is an identity of those that are in God. Hallelujah. There is a certain identity, there is something that you are identified with.
And because you are identified
with that thing, it gives you a certain authority. It gives you a certain level of understanding of your operation here on earth. What did he say concerning that? He said, let everyone that is in need of Christ depart from iniquity. Meaning that if anyone is in Christ, you are named of Christ. Hallelujah. You belong to the Lord. And he has placed his seal on you. His seal is upon what? Your heart. The one I love.
The one I love is ever before me. Seals upon my heart. I live for the one I love. The one I love.
Is upon your heart. It gives you an identity in him. What? How are we able to identify Coca-Cola? There are a lot of colas. Now there's Bell Cola. There's what? Pepsi Cola. American Cola. Hey, that one, go ahead. Pepsi. Pepsi. There are a lot of colas now. But how are you able to, when you see the seal of Coca-Cola, you know, okay, this Coca-Cola. All the other ones, they can be selling 3 cities, 3 cities, 2 pesos, and all that. But Coca-Cola is really the small one. So, the knowledge of the seal, like the knowledge of your identity, is very, very important. Or the child of God will continuously walk in darkness. And this was the issue that was bothering the Apostle Paul when he was addressing the church in Galatia. Hallelujah. He said, who has bewitched you? You see, they fell from grace into the law. And because they fell into the law, it made them very resistant to what God is doing. It's as if there was an infiltration of leaven. Hallelujah, leaven, yeast in the dough, giving it a false assumption. Hallelujah. And then introducing all manner of corruption and its subsequent effects of sin within the church. Hallelujah. He said, all foolish Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, he said, who has bewitched you? In the spirit, are you now ending in the flesh? So meaning that originally the word of life has been ministered to them. I mean, they know about the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I mean, it was with this same category of people that Paul says that if anybody preach something else, I mean, in Pauline epistles, he'll let you know that if anybody should preach something else that he did not preach, that person should be accursed. Because this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So it should be by the Spirit. It should be by faith. And faith alone. And grace alone. Hallelujah. So it said, did you receive the promise of the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Let's go to Galatians 3 there. Let's just quickly read it and then. We'll go to Galatians 5. Is someone there?
Yeah.
If you are there, say, I am there. Okay, so if you are there, you can read. Hallelujah. You see, he was using the term foolish. Do you understand what foolish is? It means that you guys are not being wise. You guys are being stupid. Or you guys are behaving as if you are not intelligent. In fact, in this particular term, he meant that you guys are so gullible. Hallelujah. So easily prone to what? Deception. He said, who has deceived you, bewitched you? Who has casted a spell on you? So have you realized that if a child of God or somebody is walking outside of his identity, it is like a spell that has been casted. Hallelujah. Because it means that the person is not under the influence of the Spirit. You are under the influence of something else. Hallelujah. So it's like, be not drunk with wine, for that is what? Drunkenness, that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. He was addressing the people, I mean, the church of God. But be filled with the Spirit, then how? He said, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. So it means that the engagement of your heart and your lips and even your entire bodily posture in acknowledging the presence of the Spirit, it's a way to be filled with the Spirit. So people fall out of sync with the Spirit when they begin to engage in things that are not inspired by the Spirit. You'll be filled with something else. Hallelujah. So whatever you fill yourself with, it can be through the gates of your eyes, through the gates of your, all the bodily gates, basically your senses. When you allow your senses to take over, you become more sensual. Hallelujah. Sensual, and it leads to a lot of fleshiness. You become very, very fleshy and not spiritual. Why? Because now there is an engagement with another spirit that is not of him. So a child of God that is walking outside of his identity is drinking another wine. And that is why it is like an abomination. Look, how many of you will see muddy waters, murky waters, and say that it is tea? How many of you will see it has rained, let's say, it has rained, and you see potholes filled with water and all that, and it looks muddy and all that, and you know how to prepare Lipton, then you add some pink milk to it, or you add some what? How do you call it? Very pink milk. Landia. You made it very, very rich. But then they all look brown. They all look brown. And sometimes even the pond one will even look more murky and milkier. But does it mean that they are all tea? The waters are different. One water is what? Bitter waters. And the other waters is what? Pleasant waters. And you only know it in the drinking or in the tasting of it. Right now, if I have the pond waters very muddy and I can bring it up, we can make the saturation to look the same. I'll place it. You from afar, you'll not be able to tell the difference. that this is silly or this is. But the scripture said, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? So people are deceiving, so they end up drinking anything at all. When you drink, definitely it is not tea. If you are drinking something else that is not tea, what is the consequences of that? When it enters into your mouth, you are introducing all sort of what, germs? You are introducing all sort of particles that are not supposed to be in your body, into your body. The side effects is that you get sick. Hallelujah. He said, who has bewitched you? You know, the packaging of their bewitchment was with the gospel. It's just like you packaging the things in writing, putting Milo on it. That this is Milo. Or this is coffee. So then he gives the definition, another word, gospel. So it looks good, it looks packed very well, presentable and all that. But the content is not of the spirit. Who has bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye. Now he's asking them a question to bring their attention to the reality of the experience, what they experience at the moment. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish? You see, he has used the term again. That means it was something that was so nauseating to the apostle. Like, I don't know, I said you're not supposed to put anybody else, but he was using the term, oh foolish Galatians, why have you allowed yourself to be deceived? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That is like talking about Abraham and all the other stories that follow. He's trying to draw your attention to the source. I'm trying to teach you how to live. We are still talking about the fruits. So a little leaven corrupts the whole lump. A little leaven, a little yeast brings in corruption. And when it corrupts, sometimes the packaging can be looking just like it is all bread or they are all tea. But the administration of one is with a kind of bewitchment from another spirit. Then the administration of one is on the spirit of God. So drink from the waters of the Spirit. Tell everybody, drink from the waters of the Spirit. This is very, very needful in your life, and that will be one of the ways that a child of God will be able to live a life representative of what he has received. Knowing what you have received and allowing no man to bewitch you or no man to deceive you is the reason why you need to be very studious yourself in the scriptures. I'll read a couple of scriptures then. We'll be there. So in the Bible, there are many, many areas where we see trees. And when trees are used, usually it's referring to men. Hallelujah. I mean, in some of the prophetic books of the Bible, in Eden, the Bible speaks about how the trees actually clap their hands. I mean, metaphorical. In the book of Genesis, you see tree. Hallelujah. You see tree a tree of life, you see a tree of knowledge of good and evil, you even see the voice of the Lord. I mean, all these metaphors. In the book of Isaiah, you see trees of righteousness. And he says that the planting of the Lord, Isaiah 61, tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to the glorification of his holy name. Hallelujah. We'll read that portion. In the book of Psalms, you see trees planted by the rivers of living waters. Hallelujah. In the book of Jeremiah, you see water gardens. Hallelujah. All these metaphors of the life of the believer. So a tree of righteousness will bear fruits of righteousness. Last week I was teaching, I mentioned fruits of righteousness. Fruits of righteousness is basically the fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Fruits of righteousness. So if you're a tree of life, you bear fruits of what? Life. If you're a tree of righteousness, you bear fruits of righteousness. Amen. If you're a tree planted by the rivers of living waters, what you bear? You bear fruits in every season of your life. In some way, what does it say? He describes the spiritual person or the blessed man. In the New Testament, we are made to understand that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, Ephesians 1, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. So all possible spiritual blessings has been waved to the believer in Christ. Hallelujah. What made that a possibility? First and foremost, we need to understand the grace of God. Amen. And we need to understand the plan of God for the ages. And we need to understand the choice of God. This has created so many controversies in many circles. Whether were you chosen unto damnation, were you chosen unto, how do we call it, salvation, were you chosen? I mean, so many schools of thought has come out of that. But the truth of the matter is that when you look at the discourse in the book of Galatians, you look at the discourse in the book of Romans, you look at the discourse in the book of Hebrews, you realize that God chose no man. It was only one man that was chosen. And that man that was chosen becomes a representative for all. So we all have to come that all were concluded under sin. Hallelujah. So that all will not have the need of the grace of God. Amen. Remember when Jesus met the woman at the well, he started addressing something important. He said, you, the Samaritans, you do not know what you worship. He said that you worship the mountain. You have no idea what you are even worshiping. Then he explained that, look, there is a new season that is coming. There is an era that is coming where now the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Jesus was unveiling a new era of worshipers. And it is what? In spirit and in truth. So now the Samaritans will have no need to boast, and those that boast in the law, the conclusion of the matter is that for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And the law in itself could not make any man righteous, though that was the righteous requirement of the law. I mean, the law is good, and it showed you the clear demands of its clear demands. But then the weakness of the flesh of men, fallen men, will not make it possible for men to fully adhere to the demands of the law, making all men fall short of the glory of God. So now, every person now automatically becomes a transgressor of the law. If you can keep it, I mean, there were proposals for salvation. When the man, the rich man, came to Jesus, he asked them, what should I do so that I will be able to experience the kingdom? Jesus told him that, go and do all that is written in the law. Go and do all that is written in the law. So the man said, okay, Jesus, I understand your requirement. What you are saying is very true. But all these things have I done from childhood. So the man is saying that he's actually flawless. But in the midst of his flawlessness, there is still that state of unsatisfaction, meaning that deep within, he still knows that he has not fully accomplished. Because the nature of the law is such that it will always make you feel insecure. It will always make you feel unsatisfied. It will always make you feel, there's a way it affected the conscience of men. So men were not able to move with a very clean conscience even after they have performed all the demands of the law. Are you getting it? So you've definitely sacrificed whatever you have to sacrifice for your sin offering. You've done all the offerings that you need to offer, all the sacrifices. Some of them will kill bulls, some will buy those, some will buy whatever they have to buy. And yet still, every single year, every single moment, there is still that consciousness of sin. So meaning that even when you think that you have met the full demands of the law, which is actually an assumption of self-righteousness, there is still that unsatisfaction. Is it insatiability? Like you are never satisfied with trying to. You always feel short, and you always feel short of it. Hallelujah. So now, the conclusion of the matter is that whether Jews, whether Greek, the only means of salvation, whether Gentiles, the only means of salvation is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So this will be the reason why the apostle will say that he is no longer ashamed of the gospel of what? Jesus Christ. For it is the power. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Hallelujah. To both the Greek, the Jews, and all the Gentiles. Everybody. For in this, the righteousness of God is revealed. Amen. So meaning that a man cannot even walk in this whole idea of what you call righteousness. Like, it is impossible. Hallelujah. That's why in Romans he described it as what? The righteousness of men as what? Filthy what? Rags. Like, you know what a filthy rag is? A rag is already what? Filthy. And then he further added what? Filthy carpet. A rag that is what? Dirty. Very dirty. Hallelujah. So it is the. This makes it possible. This now, it gives us this presentation that now, no man is righteous, not even one. And now, who is the righteous one? The only righteous one is Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So now, based on the righteousness of Jesus, based on the righteousness of Jesus, the one that is accepted before the Father, in our identification with Him, in our joining, in our togetherness with Him, now we are made acceptable. And now that makes it possible for all men to be accepted in the Beloved, who is called Jesus. Who is Jesus? Hallelujah. Am I making sense to you? So all was concluded under sin, so that any means of salvation, all means of salvation will be made available in the Lord Jesus. So He is the acceptable one. He is the beloved one. And once you find yourself grafted or into Him, or you find yourself in Him, then automatically you are made acceptable before. So that was the gospel that Paul was trying to make them realize. Like, look, there are people that will come and infiltrate with all manner of gospels. But this is the gospel that he's talking about. And we must not mix it up with what? Believing. We must not mix it up with corruption. We must not mix it up with the laws, making futile the faith of the grace of God that has been available through the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, in Paul's discussion with the people, then he got to a point where he started addressing these few issues when he started speaking about 11, when he goes to Galatians chapter 5. Then he started teaching about what we call the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. The works of the flesh. Then concluded it with the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. The works of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit. Simply put, the flesh is that which is detached from the Spirit of God, or is opposed to the Spirit of God. Jesus said, Paul said that the flesh and the Spirit, they are one contrary to their one, to the other. So it's like two opposing views. But then all these happens to be packaged in a man. Hallelujah. Sometimes, no matter how we try to deny the reality of that, you realize that the flesh is still present. And that is what is the war, or that is the battle that we actually fighting now. Even though you have an idea of the victorious reign of Jesus, you have an idea of the impartation of righteousness, the justification given by the Lord, the sanctification experience, and even, I mean, deeper truths concerning the glorification of the saints and all that. That is settled, but then there is that mystery of the operation of the flesh, such that the things that you would want to do, you find yourself not being capable of what doing. And the things that rather you do not want to do, you will end up what doing it. Then Paul will say that, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death or this body of sin?" Hallelujah. Why did he make reference to that last night? Then later he spoke about the triumphant life made available in Jesus. So it is the knowledge of the truth that liberates. Amen. That's why I said, know the truth, and the truth make it what? Free. Know the truth. Embrace the truth. And that will give you what? Life. It's just like how I'm saying that we should embrace life. When the light is not present, you'll be going about kicking all things, moving things anyhow. But the moment the light comes in, it exposes how everything is. And when it exposes how everything is now, the light gives you a kind of ability to now put things in order. Hallelujah. I will say that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. If the light is revealed, it reveals the true identity of men. Hallelujah. And those that are set now have their life ordered by the Spirit of God. Say this after me. Say, "I'm awake.
I am awake."
Say, "I'm awake to the gospel of the Lord Jesus."
I am awake to the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
So let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. It says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So here Paul is trying to explain to them, you know, there were infiltration of that particular church by brethren. I don't know whether you call them false brethren or whatever you call them. So by a particular group of people that try to impose or take them back to the law. Hallelujah. I think the terminology used was to those that came to spy out our liberty in Christ Jesus. So it was so gross, it was so like big to the point that, I mean, they'll look at you and say, "Okay, you must be circumcised by force." Talking about physical circumcision. So you see the Jews, Abraham had the sign of circumcision as a seal of the promise of God to him and all that. But a greater portion of the world, I mean, uncircumcision, you see, uncircumcision. But then we fail to understand the significance of the circumcision Hallelujah. That's why Paul throws a lot of the light about the circumcision, that it is not about the cutting away of the flesh, like how when a child is born, you cut away the foreskin. No, but rather, it's about cutting away that foreskin of the flesh. Hallelujah. So that is what it signifies, and rather it is less of. So now, this people coming and trying to impose, okay, you have to be circumcised. Circumcised, you are not part of the children of Abraham and all that. That is something else. That is not the gospel. Hallelujah. And they needed to understand the actual content or the true meaning of the circumcision of the heart. Hallelujah. And the circumcision of the heart is basically what has been done. And Ezekiel actually prophesied it when the Lord said that he's going to give unto you a new spirit, and then he's going to take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Like, he's going to take the stony heart out of your heart, and then he's going to give you a heart of flesh. That is circumcision. Circumcision means to excise the foreskin. Hallelujah. So now, circumcision of the spirit is to take away the stony heart. The stony heart is the heart that belongs to unsaved men, and it is prone to a lot of deception. It is prone to a lot of wickedness. Hallelujah. It is prone to a lot of darkness and all forms of possibilities. The stony heart is prone to possibilities of what? Good and what? Evil. But because of the nature of men, the fallen nature of men, it is prone to more wickedness. Is it? It can be what? Desperately what? Wicked. Do you understand? That's what it can be. So the excising or the cutting away or that surgical operation of the stony heart within the bodies of men or within the heart of men is actually true circumcision. Amen. And what did he say? He said, then I'll put into you a new spirit. You see, it looks as if he was talking in the Old Testament, but you can see how messianic and how it speaks so much about the new life in Christ. Ezekiel was saying it. For you know, he might not even know that he's talking about deep mysteries. He might be thinking about, oh, he's just addressing the people. You have stony heart. This and that. I'll take away this. But no. It was addressing the situation of the moment and actually teaching you what the Spirit of God will do in the hearts of men. Amen. He will take away the flesh, the heart of flesh, and then you have that Spirit of God in you. That's why the scriptures boldly confirm that he that is joined to the Lord is actually one with him in spirit. Now you have his spirit residing in you. And now the knowledge of this truth is what will bring you true liberation from the flesh. Hallelujah. That's why I said, as a child of God, you need to know your identity. You need to know your identity. Tell everybody that. Know your identity in God. You must know your identity. Or else, you know what happens? You know what makes trees unfruitful? You know what makes trees unfruitful and sometimes unidentifiable? So Jesus gave a story. He spoke about a farmer or a broadcaster of seeds. And as the broadcaster of seeds was going, what did he do? He said, some of the seeds fell by the wayside. Some of the seeds fell on what? Rocky places. Some of the seeds fell where? Fell on good soil. Then what's the fourth one? Some fell among thorns. Yes. So the ones that fell by the wayside, imagine wayside, it is not that the place is hard. I mean, wayside, and the birds are always flying around. What happens? The birds, they will see that actually there's maize or there's rice or something. So they'll just come and pick there, whatever is there, and then they eat it. So metaphorically, it will not bear any fruit. That means it fell, then all of a sudden it was taken away by the flying spirits. Amen. Then some fell amongst what? There is it, the rocky parts, the rocky ground. So if it's that place is also very, very hard, though there's some soil, but it won't be able to have depth. Have you ever seen very rocky, mountainous areas with, how do you call it, with very good trees there before. I'm talking about the ones that proper mountains, not our African mountains here. African mountains usually they are green, but if you see the true rocky mountain, you see them as brown. Like, you know that this is a rocky mountains. Hardly before you can see anything spread out, because they cannot, their roots will not be deep enough. Hallelujah. So there might be some level of growth, but then immediately the sun comes in, it scorches and burns them to their what? To their roots. So a little persecution, a little tribulation here, a little heat of the moment, a little troubles, and then everything is gone away. Hallelujah. A little trouble. The first one, what? The enemy will just come and then pick it up because it's fell by the wayside. It didn't really go into what a good soil. Then some will fall among thorns. When it falls among thorns, you see, it might be a mango tree, or it might be a mango seed, or how do you call it? Coconut. It might be anything, but look at where it is falling. It has every potential. When you see it, you know that this is mango seed. It means that it is possible for it to become all that it has to become. I listen. That it's possible for the child of God to become all that he has to become. But then the kind of nourishment or the kind of happenings around the believer really, really, really matters. Hallelujah. So the next one, the third one, falls among the thorns. And when it falls among the thorns, what happens? There will be competition. And this is why it is very, very difficult for plants to grow in weedy, in places where weeds are growing. They compete for the nutrients. And sometimes the weeds are even more, how do I call it? They are harder. Like, if you don't take care, you are trying to treat the weeds, you rather end up clearing the whole world. You destroy everything rather. And sometimes in trying to clear the weeds gradually, like trying to remove them with rakes and how do you call it, holes and things, you might end up destroying everything. They choke and they compete for nutrients. And then because of that, they are not able to grow. And you know what is usually in competition? He describes as the cares of this world. And then the deceitfulness of riches. So he has spoken about the place of what? Spirits coming to take the word of God away immediately it is released. Then he spoke about the place of the word of God not having what? Roots, enough roots. So at a little persecution, at a little tribulation, at a little heat of the environment, then all of a sudden it bends. Then the cares and the deceitfulness of riches, they are like thorns that will compete. They are competing for growth. They are competing for mastery. Who is going to gain it? Who is going to occupy these grounds and all that? But then, see, same seeds. The one that fell on a good soil. It fell in a good soil, meaning that the soil is good. It has all the minerals and trace elements. It has all the needed soil microbiota. And it has all the water, like everywhere. So what do you expect that tree to become? Very fruitful. That's why he said, it is like the blessed man, the spiritual man. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of someone, in the counsel of what? The ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful or what you call the mockers. So you are not amongst mockers, you are not amongst sinners, you are not amongst sinners. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of mockers or scornful, but his delight. So you can see where the desire of the child of God really matters. Hallelujah. Your desire to see growth, it really matters. It said, his delight. It means that it's like, you see how sometimes you're excited, you want to, like you anticipate that you want to go to the US, or you want to travel somewhere, or you want you want a fulfilling job, or maybe you want a particular course or program, or you want something like something that will make your joy full, or there's a way you want your life to go. You see, there's something that is causing a lack of joy then. But I said the believer, his delight, he delights in the ways of the Lord, the law of the Lord. And on this, he meditates day and night. Let me ask you, what do you meditate on day and night? Just be practical with yourself. Recently, when the internet went off, what happened? It was crazy. Like, you realize that people couldn't live without one. Their phone. You're trying to assess WhatsApp. It's not working. You're trying to assess what? Instagram. Those that, there are some people, they post like 1,000 times on this one. What's the name? Is it TikTok? And then there's this other one that I heard of, Snapchat. Every time they are posting, they are in a club, they post, they are in a, everything, they are posting. So when the thing is not there, it's like they're uncomfortable. What is happening? People are searching, okay, we have to get Starlink, okay, let's go and get Intel. And don't go. Let's go and find another solution. The delight is in what? Social media. Is on Instagram. Is on Facebook. If you're using it for a Twitter, if you're using it for a good purpose, that's fine. Maybe your work really depends on internet. At least we depend on internet a lot. So imagine delivery services all depend on internet and it's gone down. So people will be losing revenue. So within that moment, people that are focused on finances and things, they are making millions of money. But you that you are focused on social media, you are making what? You're just wasting your time. You see? Said his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he what? Meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of living water. You know what the living water is? The living water is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Or the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. The Spirit is truth. Amen. Or the Spirit of truth. Or the truth is your word. I mean, they are very synonymous. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, which bears his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever. Do you want everything to prosper in your life? He said, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. That's the blessing of God for the one that is blessed. And God being so good, the believer, the child of God, you are not now coming to qualify for the blessing of God. The acceptance of the Lord Jesus, your acceptance in him as the beloved of God, has already qualified you for the blessings of God. Do you get it? But now, it solely depends on your definition of what you call blessing. And you realize that here, your definition of blessing is material. Hallelujah. And actually, that is one of the things that is choking you. So, you are having a wrong definition of what a blessing is. What you are calling the definition of blessing, Jesus referred to as the thorns. Hallelujah. So now you need to rearrange your mind and now change your perspective. There is a blessing that comes along with his word. Hallelujah. And it is registered in the Spirit. It's recognized in the Spirit. So now from that point of view, and then you train in nurturing your desire in God, you now grow in the things that have been handed over to you. You now grow in the nature that has been presented to you. Hallelujah. You see, we are meant for the kingdom of God. Say, I'm meant for the kingdom of God. And you know what the kingdom of God is? You know what he said? He said, the kingdom of God is not in meat and in what? Drinks. Maybe we'll look at that maybe. Romans 14 or 15. Romans, look at it. The kingdom of God is not in what? In meat and in drinks, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You understand? It's not in what? Meat and what? In drinks. But in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the summary of what we call the kingdom of God. And all this righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost has been made available to the believer. Hallelujah. The joy, let me explain a little for you. So, you remember when I was teaching about the Melchizedek revelation? Already I explained to you that Melchizedek is a typology of the Lord Jesus, or a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus, or what people call a theophany of God, or Christophany of the Lord Jesus. So, he happens to be the king of a realm called peace. It's a realm or a state of tranquility. Hallelujah. A state of harmony. A state where all are reconciled. Then he happened to be the king of righteousness. Hallelujah. And peace being the state of the realm of God, and righteousness being the very nature of our Lord Jesus. He possessed all. And then what did he do? Then we realize that he presented before the patriarch Abraham bread and wine. And bread and wine symbolized the body of our Lord Jesus and the offering of his blood, which takes us into what? Salvation. Hallelujah. So salvation was preached unto Abraham. Hallelujah. Through the presentations of even the priest Melchizedek. Amen. And then when he presented salvation to them, he proclaimed a covenant of blessing. That's why you are blessed with all spiritual blessings and everything. You get it? He proclaimed that covenant or that prophecy over his life, that in you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. The reason why you see in the book of Revelation, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people, every what? Like, every, you know? The reason why you see that in the book of Revelation is because of that prophecy. You shall all the nations of the world, and you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And then in that reconciliation, in that administration of the body, or the bread of the Lord Jesus, symbolizing all that will happen, the offering of the perfect body, symbolizing all the works that Jesus will do. This he said to them, that you people read them, but you still do not get the revelations. They can talk about Melchizedek. They can talk about Aaron. They can talk about Levi. They can talk about all the 12 sons. They can talk about all the patriarchs. But they are reading them for genealogy's sake. Oh, me, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. Me, I'm from the tribe of what? God. Me, I'm from this. To us belong the promises of God. We are not aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Like, there are things that you can actually boast in. They were just talking about genealogies. But Jesus pointed to them that these are they that speak of me. So the main reason, what they were supposed to catch from the numerous revelations of the laws and the prophets and all the books, all the poetic books and everything that was written, they were supposed to see Jesus in it. Imagine you reading the Songs of Song and seeing Jesus in the Songs of Solomon. Imagine you reading Esther and seeing the songs of seeing Jesus in it. Hallelujah. That was what they were supposed to discover, but it was more of, okay, I know, oh, we know the scriptures, we know this, we know that, we know that. And when reality was happening right before their eyes, they still could not discern. Hallelujah. So, now, the bread and the wine offered, which is very, very pleasant. Everybody would like bread and wine. How many of you like bread and wine? Everybody likes bread. Yes. Bread and wine. Now, it takes you to what we call the realm of joy. Hallelujah. It takes you to what we call the realm of joy. Do you know why? It's called the joy of salvation. Amen. The psalmist spoke about it. But the psalmist, because, you know, Jesus had not fully come yet, but then he gave us an idea. He prayed a certain prayer. He said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and then renew a right spirit within me. He was speaking about casting not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit away. There's a song about that. You remember that? Yeah, so David, even at that time, knew that there was something called the Holy Spirit. David spoke about so many things. He said, "What blessed is the man that God does not impute what sin or trespasses upon." He was talking about the forgiveness of God. He was talking about imputed and imparted righteousness. He was talking about the wells of salvation. Amen. He was talking about that which was to come. So there's a joy that comes with the wells of salvation. And actually, the joy comes from the Spirit of God. That's why some will also put it this way, that there is a certain joy that is distributed within the city of God, and it is the Spirit of God. He said there's a river, and that river makes glad the city of God. Hallelujah. So you can see that the man Melchizedek was an entire revelation. It was a full package of revelation that we needed to decode as believers, and all these things was made real to us in Christ Jesus. So is that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? That is the kingdom of God. So that was the kingdom that Melchizedek was operating. It was like a kingdom from above. It was like a kind of realm from above, full of righteousness, full of what? Peace, and full of joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the child of God must know, you must know the kind of fruit, that the kind of tree that you are. Then the knowledge of this identity will now empower you to bear fruits of righteousness. Have you ever seen, a mango tree bearing orange tree before? Hallelujah. Yes, you are talking about grafting. It is not natural. Hallelujah. You are talking about grafting. So grafting, so where somebody will. So now, thank God you mentioned grafting. Now, many believers are bearing fruits that is not the original fruit that they are supposed to bear. Why? Because another fruit has been grafted into it, or another branch has been grafted into it, which is not supposed to be the case. Hallelujah. Naturally, mango tree is supposed to bear mango fruits. Orange tree is supposed to bear what? Orange fruits. Hallelujah. The fruits that you bear, it will show what kind of this thing you are. Sometimes trees might all be looking green and all that, but you identify them by what? By the fruits that they bear. So a child of God, you are known as what? A tree of what? Righteousness. Let me read that for you before we close. Isaiah 61, if you have that, let's quickly read so that at least you can have some scriptural reference there. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Okay. So he said, this was something that the Lord Jesus, when he came, I think in the Gospels, he took the word and then he read this portion of the scripture. Then Jesus said that this day, this prophecy is actually fulfilled, meaning that he's the package of all this blessing. So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and opening the prison doors to them that are bound. So solely for the work of what? Salvation, liberation. Then 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So, as I said, in many of the scriptures, sometimes they might be trying to address certain situations that is happening in their time and all that. But then, because they are prophets or they are inspired poets, when they speak, most of the words or some of the words, they are very, very, very prophetic. Hallelujah. They are very, very prophetic. Like you see, man Isaiah talking about all sort of things. They are all of a sudden, then unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. So something like this is really not. He said, oh, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Jesus actually told, so here, who was Isaiah talking about? Was he talking about himself, or was he talking about? Imagine the writer saying that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Will you say it was Isaiah talking to himself and then the people around? It's applicable to that when it comes to biblical interpretation. But then we need to understand how prophecy is coded in scripture. And that was the difficulty of the people in the days of Jesus. They couldn't really discern. They just took the words so literally. And even now, that has been a very, very huge block to biblical interpretation. Some will say, okay, take it. Let's take it literally. There are places where you can take it literally, but there are places where it also speaks about this is to signify or this symbolize. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to understand when it is futuristic, when it is making reference to history, maybe it's historical, or when it is symbolic, and all that. All these sides of the interpretation of scripture have to be taken seriously. So Jesus took the word, and then he read, and he said, "This thing is fulfilled today." He placed himself into what the prophecy. He knew about what was written in the volume of the books. Amen. So then he started speaking. Then he mentioned trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. It is God that has what grounded us, planted us, or established us. Amen. Paul also said the same thing. So we are the planting of the Lord. And what are we supposed to bear? Fruits of what? Righteousness. So in Paul and Epistles, he mentioned something like what we call fruits of righteousness. Amen. Then he also mentions what we call the fruits of, how do you call it? Fruits of the Spirit. So let's go to our Galatians 5. Then we will be done. Galatians 5, verse 11. Okay, Galatians 5, are you there? Galatians. Okay, so now we can jump further. Galatians 5, verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Amen. So he's telling you the grace that is available. He said, "For brethren, ye have been called unto what? Liberty or freedom. Only use not the liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." So meaning that some people without much understanding, they are quite shallow. So when they understand that, okay, there is liberty in Christ, then they take it as, oh, everything is liberal. We can just do everything that we want to do. But it's a sign of shallowness. He said, use not that liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Meaning that people were fond of using it, oh, we have liberty in Christ and all that. He said, use not that liberty for the occasion of the flesh. Yeah, look at it. He addressed the issue I was addressing last week. He said, "An occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Hallelujah. So now, one of the ways to actually assess whether you're still in the faith, ask yourself, the actions, the motives, the experiences that you have, or your friendships or your relationships that you have with people, ask yourself, the way and manner you treat others, am I loving exactly how I am loved by God, or am I loving the way I think I love myself? That will be one of the ways to take you out of the flesh. Because if you take it as yourself like this, will you take knife to hurt yourself? Who in his right senses would take knife to hurt himself? Nobody in his right senses. The only person that would take knife to hurt himself, you realize the person is under oppression. The only person that would take poison to poison someone, it is a demonic influence. Because if you really are moving by this principle, there's no way you can do that to yourself, so you won't do that to another person. But in the scriptures we find a man called the Gadarene demoniac. Hallelujah. The madman of Gadara. And that madman of Gadara, do you know what happened? Jesus casted out legion of demons. Meaning that Jesus casted out a total of what? How many demons? Like over 6,000 plus. And you know what happened? This man can take sharp stones. Those that they didn't, like, maybe didn't have the sharp knife, like this, what we have. Like. They said this man can cut himself. See the pain in cutting yourself. Or maybe all his sensory pains, all the nerves are there. But no. And do you know where he was living? He was living in what? Tombs. How many of you can walk into a tomb or even into a cemetery at night? The man will go into the tomb and be there. He said, when he's chained, the man is strong enough to break the chains. That is demonic power. So, with that, he's not able to even love himself. It's a clear sign of what? Demonic oppression. So, he was abusing his body, cutting his body, killing his body. It means that you do not love yourself. Even you do not love yourself because you are, this thing is killing you. And yes, so he said, this is what I want. So, anybody caught in sometimes what you call sin or addiction, it's even a true reflection that you do not even love yourself because this is damaging. It's either oppression or you're walking in ignorance. It is damaging to what? To your flesh. It is damaging. Remember Paul addressing some of this thing. He said, look, no, you are sinning against yourself. You are sinning against your own self. Hallelujah. It's not even that you are being sinning against God. Like, even your own self. So there's a way you can sin against your own self. Do you get it? So ask yourself, am I hurting myself? What I'm doing, is it presenting me right in the eyes of God, or it is destroying my body? If it is destroying your body, it means that you are killing yourself. You don't love yourself. And it is, there's no man that doesn't love himself. So probably it's an external control which ought to be dealt with. Hallelujah. And then similarly, you should also love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if you bite, hallelujah, you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed by one another. Because now you are killing me, I'm killing you. That's what is happening in our towns here. You see a small town, small chiefs. This chief fighting against this chief. It is so serious that you can't move into certain portions of even Accra because neighboring towns, this town is fighting against this town. It is horrible. And so that they have to send what soldiers to that place. He said, ye devour one another. He said, be careful that ye are not consumed by one another. This thing happens in the church of God. It happens in the workplace. It happens almost everywhere. Tell your neighbor, be careful that you do not devour one another. Amen. And he said, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye will. So in every man's heart, any man that is in his right senses, in your heart, you want to do things that are beneficial to yourself. Or you want to find yourself in the will of God, every man's heart. That is the reality. Or it's also, not everybody thinks like that. If you are not thinking like that, then it is an influence that ought to be dealt with. Hallelujah. It is an oppressive or suppressive spirit or depressive spirit that is causing that. Or possessive spirit, and that ought to be dealt with. Bible said that Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. So it is only the oppression of the enemy that can cause men to go against the goodwill of their spirit. Okay. 22. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said, against such there is no law. Hopefully, I'll expound more on the works of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. But take this with you, that you are a tree of life. You are a tree of righteousness. You are a tree planted by the rivers of water. And wisdom is justified of her children. By their fruits, we are able to know the kind of tree that you are. So let us know and grow in our identity in God. And let us stand firm on the grace of God, the salvation that has been given unto us. Let us trust and completely rely on the love of God. And let us live in love and in harmony with one another. And let us avoid devouring one another. If ye bite and devour one another, be careful that ye are not consumed one of another. Let's be upstanding. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's my final word to all of us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us. We declare that every man here is empowered to live a victorious Christian life. Everyone is empowered to live a life full of your love, a life motivated by your Spirit in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
There are a few things that I want to say. One of our thank you, God bless us all for all that has come to us. I want us to speak a few prayers. First and foremost, I want us to pray.